Everyone, isn't it great to see everybody every week gathered on our computer screens? I can't tell you how encouraging it is to see people joining with us every week in this way. And apologies to those of you perhaps expecting a Pentecost theme today. To be honest, I'd lost track of what day it was in lockdown. So next week we'll have a new mini-series, which I've cleverly called We Need More PPE. And next week, it's Pentecost Power Evangelism. You'll be amazed how many words beginning with P and E there are that fit into the Christian faith. So there'll be a few more over the coming weeks. But I'm going to intersperse them with some of your favourite texts that many of you have given to me over these last couple of weeks. And my big job this week is to sort out the plan for the next few weeks. But today, we're in this last in our Easter series, Fear Not, Christ is risen. And we've been looking at the chronological accounts of the appearances of the risen Christ to his disciples. And last week we had part one of Breakfast on the Beach. And today, of course, it's part two, which we've just heard. Last week, in the first 14 verses of John 21, we reflected on the mission of the future church. And if you hear and heard, you know that great catch of fish that the disciples caught was the inspiration for the mission of the church. But today Jesus moves more into the ministry of the future church by looking at our discipleship, the quality of our lives as we follow Jesus. And my prayer today, which it is every week, but particularly today, will be that all of us will be challenged as to our walk with the Lord. And I've got just two questions to ask from this passage. Firstly, do we love Jesus more than anything? And secondly, will we follow Jesus no matter what the cost? I mean, boy, they're big, life-shaping, character-forming, world-changing questions, aren't they? Are you ready to answer them? Firstly, do you love Jesus more than anything? Now, these first few verses of this passage center around Simon Peter. This is Simon Peter, who Jesus called from a life of fishing to be one of his disciples. This is Simon Peter, who Jesus named Peter to be the rock upon whom he would build his church. This is Simon Peter, who boldly proclaimed that he would follow Jesus to the ends of the earth, and even if all others fell away, he never would. This is Simon Peter, who on the night of Jesus' arrest, while gathered around a charcoal fire, denied and disowned Jesus three times. And now, here they are, somewhere along the same stretch of coast that the original calling took place, gathered around a charcoal fire. This scene has been recreated. Scenes out of Peter's life have been recreated. And Jesus asks the question that would lead Peter to being fully rehabilitated and able to take up the leadership of the future church. And that question that Jesus chooses to bring Peter back into the fold is simply this: do you love me? It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus calls him not by his disciple name, Peter, but by his pre-disciple name, Simon, son of John. You see, he's taking Simon right back. Things have changed, haven't they? Peter has let the Lord down, and he knows he has. And some rehabilitation work needs doing. So he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And three times he asks the question, once for each of Peter's denials. And three times the answer comes back, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And that's it. Peter's failure is graciously cancelled out. And Peter's future is clearly mapped out, to be the shepherd of the embryonic church, feeding lambs and taking care of the sheep. And all that was needed for Peter for a life serving Jesus was a declaration of love for Jesus. I'll come back to that in just a moment. There's some detail to mention. Jesus uses two words for love in his questions. One is the self-denial, self-sacrifice kind of love word. agape, which many of you will have heard, translated by the New International Version as truly love. Do you truly love? Do you agape love me? Jesus uses this for the first two times he asks Peter. The other word used is phileo, the word for a friendship kind of love. And this is used by Jesus the third time and by Simon Peter every time he answers. And scholars have tried to find meaning in this. But most figure, as they were probably speaking in Aramaic at the time to each other, and there's only one word for love in Aramaic, most figure it's just a literary device used by John with no deeper meaning. In verse 17, as Peter is asked the third time, do you love me? John records that Peter is hurt because he'd been asked the third time if he loved Jesus. I guess he didn't realize what was going on here. The word for hurt is used for the pain experienced when a woman gives birth. Tenuous link time, maybe, but Jesus was birthing the church here. And that can only begin with a fully restored Peter, every denial cancelled out by every confession that he loves Jesus. And the third detail I just want to pick up on is in Jesus' first question of Peter. He says, do you truly love me more than these? More than what? Oh, these barbecued fish, Jesus? Do you mean these barbecued fish? No. Oh, the boats and the nets? Well, maybe. The other disciples? Well, possibly. But if so, does Jesus mean, does Peter love him more than he loves his fellow disciples? Or does he love Jesus more than the other disciples love Jesus? Are you still with me here? And the answer is, we don't know. Some think that Jesus is pushing Peter to live up to his previous boast about standing with Jesus, even if all the others went astray. And I guess if you're going to be the church's first leader, you have to be pretty strong, don't you, in your love for the Saviour. But I'm not too happy with that suggestion. I just can't believe that Jesus compares us when it comes to how much we love him. However, I do think the question has a point. Jesus needs to know that Peter only has one focus going forward, and that of loving Jesus. No distractions from food or any other worldly pleasure. No distraction from his fishing boats, a possible alternative career and income generator. No distraction even from his friendships with the other disciples. One focus only, and that's Jesus and total love for him. It's the only way forward for Peter. Which brings us back to the question in hand. And it's a question that rolls down through the years and comes to each of us who want to follow Jesus. Do you love Jesus more than anything? Is he the most important thing in your life? Are your ambitions centered around living for his glory? Do you truly love him? And I don't think it's a question we'll hear just once. You see, we all let Jesus down, don't we, from time to time. We deny him. We ignore him. We do our own thing. We fall away for all sorts of different reasons. And we do so over and over again. But listen, the patient, gracious, ever ready to forgive Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ waits on the shoreline of your life, waits for you to drift your boat back to him. And he welcomes you back with that same question that he asked Peter. Do you love me? And restoration is ours. A new journey with him begins. You maybe need to hear this morning. You may be here now listening to me say these words and know that you have drifted from your first love of Christ. That the strength of your determination that you had when you first knew the Lord may have waned somewhat. Something or someone may have knocked you and you've drifted off course. Well, Jesus is waiting, compassion and forgiveness in his eyes. And the question comes, do you love me? Do you truly love me more than anything? What are you going to reply? Say yes to Jesus as Peter did. and know his love for you. And just finally, under this heading, the journey that we make, the walk with Jesus, it's not just about us and him. It involves other disciples. For Peter, Jesus asked him to feed my lambs, to take care of my sheep. You see, as well as fishing for people to join the church, that's our mission, we all have a responsibility to care for those already in the church. That's our ministry. Our brothers and sisters, look around you on the screen. Our brothers and sisters, young lambs, some of them, older sheep, some of them, all need feeding and caring for. And it's our responsibility. It's not an option. You know, don't you, there are so many one another verses in the Bible. Love one another, care for one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, be patient with one another, etc., etc., etc. We're called to this one anotherness. And you know, it's not all give, because others are giving that you can receive. And actually, in giving, you receive. There's a mutual care thing here that happens in church, or should happen in church. And that will keep us strong enough to partake in our mission. You see, it's both mission and ministry, as fishermen and as shepherds. Do you love Jesus more than anything? Then take care of the sheep. Wow. That was a big question, wasn't it? Well, if you thought that was big, check out what follows. Secondly, will you follow Jesus no matter what the cost? No sooner has Jesus restored Peter and set him his task than in verse 18, he spells out what lays ahead. He begins, "I tell you the truth," in the New International Version. In the Greek, it's "Amen, amen, truly, truly." And whenever Jesus begins a sentence like that, you listen. You know what's coming is important. And as you read this, you know, without having read afterwards, you assume he's talking about Peter growing old. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. I'm picturing nursing home here for Peter. But John disabuses us of that idea straight away. In verse 19, he says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. The kind of death that Peter would glorify God. Peter is going to suffer the same fate as the Lord. Arms outstretched, dressed in criminal's cloth, crucified. And indeed, church historian Eusebius records that Peter was indeed crucified. But saying that he wasn't worthy of the same fate as Jesus, he asked to be crucified upside down. Well, whichever way he was crucified, John tells us that Jesus meant that his death would glorify God. And it's after this bombshell that Jesus says, "Follow me." Do you see the sequence? It's not "love me, follow me," and then he drops the bombshell. It's "do you love me? Listen, it ain't going to be easy, Peter. Follow me." And there's no doubt that Peter understood. He doesn't answer, but seeing the disciple Jesus loved following on, he says, "What about him?" You can hear the wheels turning. If I've got to suffer, it would be good to know that he will as well. But Jesus is having none of that. And in verse 23, he says this, doesn't he? Because of this, the rumor spread. Sorry, 22. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. It is necessary that you follow me." Yes, there's lambs and sheep to shepherd, but this bit, this walk with me, this following me, this element of discipleship is just about you, Peter. I know you love me. You've got to count the cost of following me, because following me will cost you. Now, will you follow me? Well, just before I ask that question of you, it struck me that all too often we look at others and wish that we were them. You know, maybe they've got a more prominent role in the church, or a nicer role in the church. Maybe they've got the kind of gift that you want so that you can do what they do in the church. But it doesn't work like that. God has gifted you in a unique way and called you to follow him, serving only as you can. You might live to a ripe old age and impart wisdom to the church like John did. You might serve relatively briefly, a few years, and suffer for your faith, as Peter did. Or it could be anything in between. Most of us, I guess, will continue in our current roles, faithful in little ways, witnessing in word and deed to our love for Christ. But for some, there will be greater challenges as the Lord calls you to make a stand for him. Perhaps working practices that aren't really ethical. Perhaps friends or colleagues who want you to get involved in something that Jesus wouldn't like. Or maybe, just maybe, and perhaps for some of you younger ones, Jesus wants to call you away from your current way of life to serve him in another way. Church leader, it's not that bad. Missionary, it's not that bad. Charity worker, not that bad. Or maybe calling you to a deeper prayer life, maybe releasing the resources that you have into a Christian ministry. It could be a number of things. That question to Peter, do you truly love me more than all these things? More than all these things might be relevant for you this morning. Are you prepared to follow Jesus no matter what the cost? I know you've heard this story a million times, but it's always worth repeating because it sums it up really quite well. About the chicken and the pig watching comic relief. And they feel stirred to want to give something. And the chicken has an idea that between them, they could give egg and bacon. Well, the pig's not so sure. And he says to the chicken, but it's okay for you. For you, it's just an offering. But for me, it's a sacrifice. How much are we willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus? How much are you willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus? There'll be a chance to respond in just a few moments. But the gospel ends, doesn't it, with a couple of noteworthy points. We find out that the disciple whom Jesus loved is the author of this gospel. It's John. And there it is in verse 24. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true. The last verse proclaims that John has written all we need to know to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and to love him and to follow him. There's lots more that could have been said, but the world is not enough to record all the glory of Jesus Christ. And finally, in speaking about John to Peter, Jesus says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Did you hear that promise in there? There's a promise here that slips by almost unnoticed. Jesus will return. I just love the Anglican liturgy that I was reminded of. It comes after communion, and it's a simple statement of faith which sums up everything we need to know, and I guess which sums up, you know, all the gospels that we've been looking at these last few weeks. Some of you will know this because some of you belong to Anglican churches, don't you? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Alleluia. Well, I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to stand up. I'm not sure whether you can. I'll stand up a bit further back. I'm pretending I'm standing up. Okay, I'm standing up in my heart so you can still see me on the screen. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask these two questions of you. And I'm going to encourage you to stand if you can answer yes to these questions. Because I think from time to time, we just need, don't we, to affirm our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Jesus more than anything? And will you follow him? Whatever the cost. He loves you. He died for you. He lives in you. He's coming back for you. That's got to be worth some sort of response. So let's stand as I pray. Father, we stand before you. Lord, you know our hearts. We love you. We want to follow you. Help us, Lord, to love you more than anything. Help us, Lord, to follow you, whatever the cost, and to do so for the glory of your name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn now, a hymn that reminds us of God's love for us, expressed in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the hymn Before the Throne of God Above.